All right.
Welcome to Allegedly.
Yeah? Who are you?
I'm Theo Von, man.
And I'm Matt Weiss.
I'm still Theo Von, dude.
Oh, for better or worse.
Yeah, for better or worse.
For better.
Okay, I'll try.
Ironically, we have a guest coming in today who's on a show called I'm Dying Up Here.
Yeah.
On Showtime.
Yeah.
That's Al Madrigal,
yeah,
who not only is an actor on this show that looks pretty awesome, but you've probably seen his stand-up. He was a correspondent on The Daily Show, and he's like our boss because he's the head of the network, All Things Comedy, that we're on.
Yep, and yeah. I see him here all the time at the Comedy Store,
yeah,
which we are recording in the basement of.
Yes.
And the new Showtime series, I'm Dying Up Here, is based out of a fictional comedy store.
Really?
Yeah.
Not the actual Comedy Store?
So it's the one that they recreated the Comedy Store, so they didn't shoot it here.
So it's, right.
So it's based out of here?
It's probably just inspired by or based on. They,
yes,
probably couldn't get the actual like Comedy Store rights or whatnot to,
right,
use the Comedy Store, but I think it's better that's a made up one anyway. But it's very similar, right? In the 70s,
yeah,
it's about that struggle of the comics in the 70s, which, you know, the struggle's real today too, dude.
Struggle is real, dude. I'm struggling right now. That's why I'm going to invite some of you guys out to my to my comedy shows. June 23rd and 24th, I'll be at Gotham Comedy Club.
In Batman?
New York City, yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's Batman country.
Okay.
And then June 30th, I'll be in Wyoming, Illinois. That's for a fundraiser.
Now, that's really confusing.
Yeah, it is.
Wyoming, Illinois?
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Dude, you know, I don't know. I don't know why they do New York, New York, you know?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense either.
Yeah.
Those are just for people who have low attention spans.
Right, so they're just trying to hit you early. They're like, Wyoming? And they're like, no, Illinois. But
Illinois.
They baited you. It's very bait and switch town.
What's the, what are you doing there?
We're doing a fundraiser for a theater. My mother actually grew up in that town, population 1,600.
Wow.
And they had a theater there where I saw Pink Cadillac, actually.
The movie theater?
The movie.
Oh, it's a movie theater.
Movie theater, yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
It's a small movie theater, and they want to be able to put different performances on there, so I'm going there to raise money. We're going to do a fundraiser there.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a really small town, Wyoming, Illinois. The tickets are available online, and it's like near like Peoria. It's not far from the Quad City, so if you want to come out to a small town event, that's going to be the biggest thing that's happened there in a long time, come out and support.
Online, what do you mean? On your website?
Yeah, you'll be able to get the tickets online. If you can go through theovon.com/tour, and you'll be able to get the tickets. And then July 6th through 9th, I'll be in Orlando at the Orlando Improv. But now let's get to this episode, man. I'm excited to have this guy in here.
I'm excited too, because it's going to give me more insight into the mind of the comedian, which is something that we've had a lot of comedians on here.
Yeah.
And you're a comedian.
And I'm a comedian.
We're in the Comedy Store basement.
Yeah.
So I always look at you guys and say you are the hardest working people in showbiz.
Well, it's either this or suicide. That's what I say, dude.
Oh,
when I look at me,
some people have chosen the latter.
So you're saying there's a chance, huh? And Ari Manis is going to be here. He'll be on this episode, won't you, Ari? Is that true, or is that?
I'll pop in from time to time as long as Matt doesn't edit me out.
Wow.
What?
Is that true, Matt?
There's been times, not because it's Ari, but because I have to edit out time.
Wow.
You know it's hard.
I actually didn't even know that you had edited me out.
There's been times I've edited him out, and all of us.
And I don't blame you, dude.
We've done freaking shows that we record for an hour and a half that I have
Matt,
to cut down to 45 minutes.
Everything I say is gold.
Yeah.
And that's what the listeners want.
Ari Gold. He was supposed to be Ari Gold, actually.
Oh, right. Ari Gold.
That's what they call him. But they call him Ari Pewter instead. Everything he says is pewter, baby.
Well, on behalf of Ari Pewter,
yeah,
Theo Von, myself,
we'll be
just
right
get
back.
This guy in here
with Al Madrigal, and I want to delve into Ari's seedy relationship. What's been going on there, Ari?
Yum yum yum.
Oh God. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Dude, do I look well rested or not?
You look well, your hair looks well rested.
Yeah, that's some beautiful bedhead, isn't it?
That is some Casper bedhead.
It is. That's who does my hair now. Casper mattress.
Because you have a Casper mattress.
Dude, I got one. Honestly, my life is so much better.
Yeah, mine too. And I was someone who was very hesitant to change my mattress. I've had the same mattress for probably 12 years, maybe.
What?
And
Gross.
I know you're supposed to change it, and there really is a groove where my, you know, body is. And so I was very hesitant because I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah, it sounds like a stainy habit.
They sent us these mattresses. I put it on, and it literally changed my life. It's very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got that memory foam kind of like, thing to it, so that I'm not sinking in too much.
Right. Yeah. And it remembers you, dude. Like, that's a cool thing, that memory foam. It's like when you get back to it, you're like, oh, this thing kind of remembers me a little.
I have relatives who don't even remember me.
Yeah.
My mattress does. It's completely risk-free, too, because you'll get free delivery, and they will take it back if you're unhappy with it. Within a 100-day free trial.
Yep, so it's 100 days you can try out a Casper mattress, basically.
And if you don't like it, they're going to pick it up.
Free shipping, free returns, okay? So basically 100 nights on a Casper, okay? And that's not a guy. I know you think it's like a Latino man or something, man. Yeah, you do.
Well, this is, unlike that guy, this is completely risk-free.
Yeah.
So give it a shot. It is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price.
Mm-hmm. And it's designed, developed, and assembled in the USA.
Oh.
Yep. About
well, that's,
time.
That's great. Over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress.
That's true. And you can get yours and a $50 discount by going to Casper, CASPER.com/Theo, T-H-E-O. And if they ask you for a code, use code Theo.
So you'll get $50 towards the purchase of any mattress.
Yes.
It's towards a mattress.
Towards a mattress. You can't go buy your groceries or, like, you know, get a swing set.
A nice shawl.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't get that there. You can get a great mattress. And I'm telling you, and I stand by this, this mattress will change your life.
Wow.
Yep.
Life change. You do look a little bit happy.
Life changing.
My life was already great, so it's still great. That's what I can say. Casper.com/Theo, T-H-E-O, for $50 off. And now, back to your regular program. I'm Theo Vaughn.
And I'm Matthew Cole Weiss. This is Allegedly.
And we have Al Madrigal in today, who's one of the stars of the new upcoming Showtime series.
I'm dying up here, but also a very award-winning comic.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And one of our bosses, so to speak.
The boss who never bosses you around.
Yeah, exactly.
That?
The boss we hear from once a year. I like it.
Through all things comedy. He's kind of like God. He's like the boss you hear from at Christmas a little bit.
Oh, just...
Well, not really.
I feel like I'm more of a coworker, and I'm helping you guys with anything you need. And anytime you want to call or you need anything, don't hesitate to ask.
Yeah, he's like a politician.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. Well, we're very happy to have
you here. I represent
you,
Theo Vaughn, and I'm behind anything that you want me to be behind.
Good, because I'm having some issues with my co-host, if you can do something about that.
And by his co-host, he means he has herpes.
That's not true.
No, that's not true, actually.
I would just, anyway.
But no, Al Madrigal, one of the best joke writers I've ever met, and that's secondary to your performing abilities, but amazing joke writer.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And as always, we've got Mr. Ari Manis.
Hello, thanks for having me here once again.
Ari.
And Ari's living with a woman. We just want to drop that out there.
I like how you emphasize woman as if it's a surprise that it's a woman, not that it's a surprise he's living with someone.
I'm already a little worried about this situation because she sounds like it's almost like a Russian bride type of webcam.
You know, she's just my girlfriend. She's a normal girl. She makes more money than me. She's hotter than me.
Okay.
The only issue is we've only been going out for 2 months and she moved in. So
she moved in. Did she make this choice to move in?
I asked her a bunch of times and then she made the choice.
Okay. Meaning, was she evicted from her other place?
Yeah, there's something going on.
Now, when you
we're going to get over the course of this episode, we will get down to the bottom of it.
When you asked her, I do want to know what was your primary purpose behind asking her? Like, when ask yourself that question.
So we get home what 2 a.m. every night. Comics 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. If you're married, like Al. But when I get home every night, I'm lonely.
Yeah.
I want a cuddle buddy.
Yeah.
So that was it. That was the answer to my problem.
Dude, buy one of those big fucking stuffed animals.
Yeah, what about
the same?
One of those pillows, like this.
Yeah, seriously, we're gonna get you some Bloom Mat flowers and a Casper mattress.
Does Casper mattresses make those? There are pillows that people use
like
to comfort
body
them.
Pillows.
Human pillows, or just get a body.
It's not the same. I need a beating heart. Right,
well, look, sedate Brenton Biddlecombe.
He moved in with his girlfriend.
Oh, he did.
Wow.
So you guys are at odds right now.
And then there's you and I, Theo.
Oh. Oh, Jesus. Well, let's not even get into that. But let's do get into the new series. As a stand-up comedian myself, as a guy who's directed stand-up comedians, Matthew Cole Weiss.
And I've written jokes for stand-ups, too.
And, yeah, written some horrible jokes that actually almost cost me my career. And thank you for not letting me know if it was Sally Field or Fields. Nothing's more awkward than bringing her up and not knowing if she was in Forrest Gump or if she made cookies.
That's not under my joke writing purview.
Well, you could
That's
have put
something
it in
you
there.
Could just look up on Google.
You could have put it in there, too.
Yeah, could have added that.
Anyway, we got. I want to hear about the new series, man.
It's a show. We're doing this, recording this podcast from the Comedy Store, which has been here forever. I'm sure waitresses have been banged right in this very spot.
I've got oral sex within 11 feet of where we're at right now. Yes.
Really?
Recently. On the property?
Oh, yeah.
I brought a prostitute down here once. Ari. She stumbled down the stairs.
Let's quit talking about this girl that's living with you and get to some of these questions about I'm dying up here. It's a show set in 1973. It's not the Comedy Store, but it's this place, Goldie's. Melissa Leo plays Goldie.
Is it inspired by the Comedy Store?
Inspired by the Comedy Store. Inspired by the book, I'm Dying Up Here, which centers around the strike. There was Richard Pryor was making so much money, taking cash away in a paper bag, and next to him were comics that could not afford pancakes at Cantor's.
Wow.
After doing Tonight Show sets. Like, there's guys that were starving. You're sort of either starving and trying to make it or super rich, I think, and that's what you had. A lot of comics, paid regulars, started being a thing, and that's what we are here at the store. Because there was a strike that went on. And I believe it was 74 was the strike. And it was desperate times. So desperate that a guy jumped off the Hyatt, which we're next to, which now is an Andaz.
Really?
Yes, yeah. But somebody jumped off the...
A comic?
To try to get on stage?
Lubetkin, he was trying to land in the parking lot. I think he hit the ramp.
Oh.
And he had a note to Mitzi. Basically, you did this. Obviously, he was disturbed. He was borrowing money from his brother and didn't want to do that anymore. He had actually had some success and just was, mentally disturbed and did this.
But he had some fuel in him from the strike.
Yeah, exactly. I think the strike came to an end. Jay Leno pretended to get hit by one of the cars that were driving into the parking lot here. So there's two different sides, and Mike Binder and Argus Hamilton and some other comics were on the sort of come into the store, ushering people in through these strike lines, and they sort of were scabs. Mm. And then you had Tom Dreesen, Letterman, all these other guys. I think Letterman famously went from being on The Tonight Show right to the picket line.
Mm.
So it was a crazy time. And then the Sunset Strip was just drug houses. That Rock and Roll Hyatt here was just, a mess. And I'm Dying Up Here, the TV show, is produced by Jim Carrey and has some of those great stories and stories from him. He was more of an 80s guy, but... it would sleep in a closet, and Tom Dreesen would eat Kentucky Fried Chicken, I guess was down close to like Crescent Heights and Sunset. Mm. And he ate Kentucky Fried Chicken, like a cluckin' for a buck or something like that, every single day for 2 years, he said.
Wow.
So it was a desperate, crazy time, and the show on Showtime does a good job of sort of depicting that world.
Well, there's a couple of reasons I know this show is going to be good. One, Showtime always delivers for me. Number two,
good point,
is I love period pieces, especially like in that era. Number three, Melissa Leo is one of the best actresses we have around.
Wow.
And number four, Al's in it.
Al's in it, yeah.
A lot of comics made it in there. Dom Herrera is in the show, playing his character Fitzy. Eric Griffin.
Yep.
And
we've had Eric on our podcast.
Andrew Santino as well.
Andrew Santino in it as well. And then Earl Scakel plays this guy, Al Sims, that pops up. Jerron Horton is in there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of comedians. Judy Gold is in the show.
Oh, nice.
Rick Ingram.
Yeah, Rick Ingram is in there. Correct.
In essence, helping people today, comedians today, who probably still struggle. I'm sure the struggle is still real for comedians.
Earl Scakel and Rick Ingram, I don't probably don't have too many TV credits.
No, yeah, I think this is their first real credit.
As an actor, correct? Yeah. So this is credit. Dave Labonte, Michael Aguilar, spending a ton of time watching comedy, going to Meltdown, coming here to see Roast Battle, all the comics working on the show, referring as many friends as they could. I tried to get Brian Holtzman a gig as a door guy. And that didn't work out because he fucked up the audition. Oh. He called me out. I fucked up, Al. I tanked it. So
Theo didn't even get an audition.
I didn't get an audition.
You did not?
I did not.
It was everybody auditioned for.
Oh, everybody did.
Every single person.
I didn't get an audition. I sent one in. I just made my own.
Everyone auditioned for this. I'm sure you'll be. Yeah.
No, I'm sure I'll never get one. They went to everybody.
They really went to everybody.
Did they really?
Just everybody.
God.
Wow. People. Yeah. Canvassed.
Jesus.
They put out a wide net. You weren't in there.
They got somebody, a man from Tijuana who spoke no English.
They got him in there. It's a great show. And then, you know, again, in terms of the actors, Melissa Leo, amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Raising everybody's game.
Who do you play?
I play this Edgar Martinez, and there's a little twist there, who's a mix between Freddie Prinze and Cheech, and I get to be in the writer's room, so I really got to come up with this character, but there's a little Carlos Mencia in there, and there's a twist. That,
he stole from Mencia.
Yeah, he did. I flipped it.
That's cool. Well, Carlos is now fully off the hook, guys. Yep.
I have a Freddie Prinze story.
You do?
What do you got? Well, Freddie Prinze Jr. story.
Nah. I was on a set of Scooby-Doo 2.
No, I interviewed him, and this was before I was out of the closet, and we talked. He gave me his
Matt
number.
Matt is a homosexual, guys. Some people don't know. Sorry.
What?
Yeah.
I do like surprise, but
sorry.
Mock surprise.
Matt is not. I didn't
mock surprise. Really didn't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so
Matt
I
might not be, guys.
I was not out of the closet, and in my head, like I was became kind of obsessed with him, and so I had his number, and I used to call him all the time and leave messages, and eventually his girlfriend called and left me a message and said, "Stop calling Freddie Prinze," and I was shit, I've got a problem.
So you know you had a problem? You're like, I shouldn't have, this is one of the messages that I just shouldn't have left. And
No.
You just thought you guys were hit it
this
off.
This has been a problem for me with dating too. Like I would overtext. It's taken me years to go through this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it was like the night, because Bette Midler is one of my favorite people. My parents got me a gift to go to her Halloween party. It was like $1,500. I went having the time of my life. Best night ever. Met Bette Midler. Come home. Get a message on my answering machine, because this was how it was, saying like, "This is Freddie Prinze Jr.'s girlfriend. You got to stop calling him, okay? This is not cool." I was like, "Wow,
That's so Hollywood, bro."
Wow.
So I haven't seen him since.
Oh shit. Well, he actually has a podcast with Josh Wolf, who has an ATC podcast. So
you
there's actually this weird
really?
Thing. Yeah, that'd be interesting to bring that back up and then just start calling him again.
Yeah.
And you get a call from Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Is that his wife?
Yeah, that's his wife.
I don't know who that. Oh, was she in Clarissa Explains It All?
No, that's Melissa Joan Hart.
Was she in Vampire?
Buffy? Yeah, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Cruel Intentions.
And then she was also in Cruel Intentions and the Scooby-Doos.
Yeah, Scooby-Doos.
Wow. Right.
Scooby-Doos.
So I want to let people know
you're talking about Edgar.
Oh, yeah. So Edgar Martinez is this great sort of sad comic. He's a regular at the Goldies. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the guys, but sort of by himself. I don't want to tip too much, but later on, we really get to see where he lives. And he's not a bad dude, but it's some great... To be able to be a comedian and act in this show, which is very much a drama about comedy, it was an incredible experience. So I can't wait for you guys to see what happens later on this season.
Yeah, I'm excited. Hello Fresh.
I love me some Hello Fresh.
Really? Now, what if you go over to a guy's place and he's got Hello Fresh?
I think it's something fun to do together. Yeah. I think that would be a great idea for a date.
Yeah.
You know, because HelloFresh is that subscription kind of box service that brings you fresh ingredients and give you recipes for these meals that you can make within 30 minutes. And it costs like less than $10 a meal ultimately. So it's a fun thing to do together.
Yep.
It's very healthy.
Yeah.
And I think it would be a great date idea. I truly do.
Well, look, and the thing is for me, like I tried it out, right? And the recipes made me feel like I knew what I was doing, which is kind of cool.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
It yeah. says a lot.
You know, I feel like I'm a chef and I got music playing and I was watching Ratatouille in the background. Got a little out of control.
A lot of box options.
They got the classic box, the veggie box, and a family box. Customers can order 3, 4, or 5 different meals per week. So it's constantly new. It's constantly changing.
It's 6 easy to master steps in each recipe. You're chopping, you're zesting, you're cooking like a natural. And most of them, like I said, take under 30 minutes. So it's easy to do.
It's farm to box. It's couch to kitchen. It's fork to feel good. And it is HelloFresh. It delivers food to your doorstep in a recyclable, insulated box for free.
And did you know that HelloFresh employs 2 full-time registered dietitians on staff who review each recipe to ensure that it is nutritionally balanced? That's great.
Yeah, it's well.
Someone's doing that for me, so I don't have to read the crap.
Yeah, dude.
What's our special offer?
Well, for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code ALLEGEDLY30. That's ALLEGEDLY30. That's the same thing you tell like a guy if you meet him at the dance club.
What?
Like, how old are you? Like allegedly 30.
Yeah.
But that's $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com and enter the code allegedly30 for your discount. Have you seen the whole season out?
I have seen, I did ADR, went in for some voice stuff to, you know, loop over whenever it was noisy in the background, and saw a bunch of scenes, but I've seen fully episode up to episode 2. So I have everybody at Showtime saying, incredible things about it. Wow. They've been there for a long time, and we've never been so excited about this a series.
Wow, and you can catch it on Showtime Sundays at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central, starting June 4th. I have a question, which is, you both are stand-up comedians. I don't know what it's like to be a stand-up comedian. I would never do it. I'm afraid. And this show actually makes me even more afraid. But is that kind of still to this day, this kind of like hustle of a life? I mean,
yeah.
It seems like...
I really think it is, because when you start out, you don't have anything unless you're some sort of celebrity. I have a whole thing with this too, like the people trying to do some sort of cash grab after they've achieved fame somehow.
Like going to stand-up comedy.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's this line about... I hate to think that what is my life's calling is somebody else's last resort.
Right.
And it is. Let's say you start at the bottom and nobody knows who you are and you have 0 credits and you have to start working for free and associating and sort of rise through. Yeah,
Sorry.
There's no shortcuts to this. You have to work. And people think, oh, just I'm naturally funny. And that does work for some people to a certain extent. But, well, Hollywood is filled with all of these hilarious people. And the ones that work the hardest usually win.
What's the end goal for a stand-up comedian? I'm curious.
Everybody has different things.
Yeah, that's one thing I think that a lot of people don't take into account is what is their end goal.
And please, Al, when you're giving points, you can announce it so we know what points you're giving.
I think Matt just is... I forgot that I was giving points, and Matt I just put way ahead because he opened up about this Freddie Prinze stalking situation.
That he's a stalker.
He's a full-on stalker, but that took a lot of courage to admit.
Well, and there's others too. I'm not admitting to
that. Has that been something that you discussed on the show previously?
No.
So there you go.
Dude, I did a little bit of cocaine out of my ex-girlfriend's outside of her apartment and fell off her balcony one time.
Same exact thing.
Yeah, a little bit more second degree stalker. Ari?
2 points.
Oh, thank you.
One time I waited outside this girl's window, my ex-girlfriend, and then she opened up the window. I told her I had cancer to try and get her back.
No. Is that true?
Yeah, I was in a dark place.
It's so believable, too, because you so look like you have cancer.
He pulled that off. So what is
what's your angle? Like, what's your ultimate level of success?
Well, it's funny. It's interesting.
Both of you had your own specials.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point it would be able to produce or create a series,
A series.
To sell a series.
Where you're the lead of?
No, I don't have to be the lead. I'd like to be in it, but that'd be based upon part of my life. At this point I'm a little disheartened just because of where the industry is right now, but...
What, do you have to be a digital marketing major to succeed?
I just feel like it's hard. Like, I just don't feel like they're pushing anything that's, like, of my... ilk, really, of my background in this. I just feel like
you're not niche enough. You need to have
I'm super niche, I think.
Really?
I don't know anybody like me, man. I really don't. You know?
I think you're a great comic. I'm not just
stories,
saying.
I
yeah.
just don't know.
No, the last set that I saw you do was up for Ryan Sickler's, Jay Larson's, like it was Crab Feast.
Oh, yeah.
Was,
yeah
that about your mom winning a perm.
Yeah.
That was super funny, man. So I don't like a ton of comics, and I do like the ones that really talk about themselves. So I like to see, I think when we started, those comics basically get sitcoms. I mean, that used to be the thing. Like, Everybody Loves Raymond, to have your own show that really takes your stand-up or your life experiences. I know that, you know, Bill Cosby, bad example, but good example for, you know, pre-rape. And, he took the first episode of that Cosby show was a ton of his stand-up, just put bits in there. And so I've always thought, I saw, you know, Ray Romano on Letterman jingle his keys and got to meet Ray Romano recently. I couldn't dork out as much as I wanted to. That was my Freddie Prinze Jr. But without him get a phone number. I just love that show and him so much and his stand-up. I really identified with that. So I've had 5 deals to write my own family sitcom that they pay. It's great. And then I also with, you know, in acting, I've just been on this. I'm Dying Up Here is pilot number 10.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And 4 have made it to, 4 have gotten picked up. Maybe 5 have gotten picked up. And then 1 has made it to season 2.
Wow.
So it's just been like, I'm waiting for the one to come. I really feel like I'm Dying Up Here is great, and I wouldn't be saying if it was a clunker, I would totally tell you guys. I think this is a really good one. The deal with that is it's 10 episodes a season.
Right. So that's a big second season they have to grab, right?
Well, yeah. No mean? One's, yeah. You want
a full year.
Totally. So you got to subsidize that with a ton of other stuff. So I have a show that I've created for Comedy Central. I just want to do it all. I have 2 kids. I want financial security. I want fuck you money. I want to be able to just do whatever I want. And for me, that's making it, is being able to live stress-free and have a complete life at the same time. So I really like hanging out with non-stand-ups. You know, yeah. I love sitting in that back room. There's a VIP bar in the Comedy Store that we get to go to. And I love talking about stand-up. I love hanging out with stand-ups. But if that's your entire life, then I just, I like to mix it up. I like this sort of eclectic success, and I don't need to be a gazillionaire. And I really love also what we're doing with All Things Comedy is we're helping a lot of comics. Yes. And you guys are going to see I keep being the guy who says there's a, you know, the boy who cried we're all going to be rich.
The boy who cried wealth?
The boy who cried wealth. Is that the thing?
I just made it up, but it's cool.
But I want to do the allegedly TV show.
Yeah.
I talked about that. Like, we have 2 stages. We have the ability to do this. We're going to get some funding, and I want you guys to make a show. I want people to help sell that. I want advertisers for that. Like, I just want to do something that people also remember.
One of the tough things that I've had trouble personally is trying to stay sincere, right? Like, I don't...
Theo's opening up. I'm going to give him a couple more points.
I don't want to, like, be like a kiss ass. Like, I see some guys and I'm like, this dude is totally, to me, it seems not genuine.
Yeah.
But then they seem to get so far.
Do you remember one of the first times, speaking of genuine, when we met, where I didn't really know you and I told you to shut the fuck up when you were at the Laugh Factory talking to your friends in the audience?
Oh, I do remember that. I felt bad.
Yeah, you should.
I should have.
Still feel a little bad.
It really was, dude. It was really rude of me. I'd had a decent set and then
I
was sitting
set,
there talking during
introduced
his
set. Introduced me and then went and sat with his friends and was talking. Yeah. I was like, hey, Theo. Shut the fuck up.
I feel like you should take points away from that. I mean, no.
What? I'm not going to.
Thank you.
We're buddies. It's all in the past. You know, totally.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Here's a question. Do you guys, I feel like I'm asking both of you because this is interesting, but do you have a fear as a comedian of having peaked? For instance, you win an award, right? What was it? The U.S. Comedy Arts Festival
Award. Yeah, I won an award for best stand-up in 2004, and most of the people that I was up against are much more famous and wealthy
really?
Than me.
Interesting. Wow.
Some people have dropped out, but I can name four or five of them that are gazillionaires and touring, you know, theaters, and I won the award, but yeah, and I'm not doing bad, but right. still, they're doing way better.
Yeah.
Interesting. So interesting. Do you feel like after you get an award like that, like, I mean, you have all this pressure on you now, and that, now it's
no,
like 10 years later?
No, because I think
later.
It was like an industry thing that no one really was aware of. But yeah, see, I won that in 2004, and so what? Yeah, 13 years later, I'm in a fucking basement. yeah. Ari Manis.
That's true, dude.
You yeah. said it.
Yeah, I guess there's never like a... For, do you feel like the stardom is the same for comedians as it is for other genres of entertainment?
Everybody. So actors...
Is never enough.
Is there enough? There's relevance. I look at some careers of... Yeah, people who just have like one-hit wonders that just tour on,
yeah.
you know, one or two songs, never really try again. There's a lot of those examples of musicians that sort of have these long careers, stand-ups that have these long careers. But what is the end game? I love acting. I love writing. Going to do stand-up at night after you woke up and you wrote all day, you know, like if I'm doing all yeah. these other things, I think about getting out all the time.
Yeah.
I think I'm, what I'm, my plan is I'm going to bust my ass till I'm 50 years old and then see where I am.
Oh, you're going to bust your ass for another 27 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of work. Point, ding, 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 ding.
No, point taken away.
No, this is, I think this is interesting because this is kind of like, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of moods in here, even just through this conversation that I've expressed, probably a lot of the stuff that kind of ebbs and flows throughout the television series. You know, of people feeling like, you know, stoked, elated, like disappointed, yeah. like unsure. I mean, do we see a lot of that throughout
totally
the series?
You totally see a lot of that. It's just you, there's a showcase and there's Carson that everyone's... Carson is this, you know, brass
that was
ring.
The thing,
for,
yeah.
That's what everybody wanted because
yeah.
you were famous after you did Carson.
Yeah. Huh.
And then Carson became... It got so diluted, I'm not sure if you've... read the Steve Martin book, Born Standing Up, mm-hmm. but he talks about doing Carson 12 times and then people sort of recognizing him, thinking they recognize him from high school or
oh,
shit
yeah.
like that. It's like they not knowing how they knew him, but they knew him. Mm. And so they all wanted the same thing and they wanted to be on Merv Griffin. They wanted to be on, you know, Dinah Shore and all these shows that were out there. So they're just all vying for the same spots. Now we're all sort of doing the same thing, but I feel like there's, you know, now the difference is there's three networks then.
And yeah. now there's so many other things.
There's 1,000.
But networks. I don't feel like late night has the power that it used to.
Not at all.
No.
Well, now because you have freelance TV, now you can just watch whenever you want, you know, whenever you feel like making your late night.
So now what is the brass ring?
Yeah, that's a great question. What is today's Carson? I think I have an idea what it is.
Because
I think it might be close to that Netflix special.
Yeah, I think it might be too.
Dude, are you wearing a shirt you got from...
Loot Crate?
Yeah!
I am. It's my Goonies t-shirt. It's yeah. awesome. I got this month's Loot Crate, which had that. Mm-hmm. It had Guardians of the Galaxy, little, I think it's Rocky Raccoon or whatever.
And it had the Star Wars, the color pencils?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool stuff. So Loot Crate is a subscription service that gives you these great collectible things that are exclusive to Loot Crate and mostly surrounded around movie franchises and other parts of entertainment. Goonies, Jurassic Park, Predator, whatever
Spider-Man,
it is.
Transformers, The Hulk, DC Comics.
Yeah, actually, June's Loot Crate, you'll find Spider-Man, Transformers, The Hulk, and DC Comics.
Oh.
That's what's to look forward to in June.
Wow.
Because the theme is alter ego.
Oh, God, dude.
Do you have an alter ego?
Yeah, dude. I think, well, actually, both my egos like to nap. I do know that. But also, I have a cousin that looks like Chunk from the Goonies, and I sent him my shirt.
Oh, that's yeah. very cool.
Same haircut and one of the same ears.
Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month.
Yeah, it's a great deal, man. And here's the thing, it's stuff you can't get anywhere else. So if you have somebody who loves nostalgia, loves movies, loves pop culture, but in like the kind of like artsy and
nerdy sort of way, that's
yeah,
okay.
Nerdy, franchisey kind of way, which so many of us really do. This is a great gift for them.
But it's also something that you don't know what's coming each month.
Yeah.
So it's a surprise when you open it each month, which is really exciting. You know what they have now? They have loot pets.
Mm.
So if you want to geek your pet out, mm-hmm. you can even get loot pets.
Ooh,
I don't have a pet, but if
your
I did,
pet
I'd
looks
get the
looted. Dang.
And for June, one lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. A mega crate.
Wow, for you, yours would have a young man in
just
it.
Stop it.
I mean, an of age man.
Yes, there we go.
Okay, good.
Barely, but of age.
Oh, I love what Loot Crate sends to me. And also, if you have a young child or something like this, it's like they just love opening stuff. So to open a cool box that it looks mysterious each month that it comes, and then to have things in there that are just one-of-a-kind things that are offered by Loot Crate.
And if you want to get fancy, you can get a bigger box with even bigger loot with the Loot Crate DX. So this is how you can get it, okay? So be the envy of your friends. Get your 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/allegedly.
Yep, A-L-L-E-G-E-D-L-Y.
And if they ask for a code, you could put in the code Theo, but it should take you directly to it.
It's lootcrate.com/allegedly and enter my code Theo, T-H-E-O.
And what do you get? You get 10% off your subscription.
Yep. It's huge.
It's a great deal.
Yep, it's a great deal.
Like I said, I already bought it for my cousin. I'm actually thinking of other people I can buy it for, too.
Ooh, you know what? My the guy who edits some video for me, his son has it and loves it.
Oh. That's lootcrate.com/allegedly, code word Theo, 10% off.
Enjoy
I can't
it.
Wait to see next month.
Yeah, dude, nice shirt, huh, Chunk?
Guys. Do you have a lot of guest stars on this show? Because I imagine it would be like a prime kind of thing.
We have a ton.
Well, we got to ask, is Jim Carrey a guest star?
Yeah.
No, he is not a guest star on
Why?
The show. Not yet. And
but it was a obviously it was a conscious thing.
Yeah, but I just don't think there's a part. I mean, as written,
fit.
And there's not a part that he
and
really
you didn't
fits
need
into.
It. You didn't need it to get the show go.
No, I mean, he's involved too, so.
What's he like?
He's super cool.
Because he's had some weird stuff in the past.
He has
too.
Some stuff just happened, and he is like, I don't know. I have a limited interaction with him. But,
right.
So I've met him and hung out with him maybe 5-6 times.
Mm-hmm.
And all 5-6 times, super cool. Wants to know about stand-up. Has watched me do stand-up, which is another whole thing that,
Yeah.
We were supposed to do something else together. It sort of fell through in terms of promo for the show, but... Yeah, he's awesome, man. And the fact that he has gone out of his way to make this happen and wants to tell all these stories makes him that much cooler.
Because,
again, he has got so much money that he doesn't need to do shit.
Mm-mm.
He could be done, which is it brings us back to what we were talking about. I think I hit a certain dollar amount.
And then you're out.
See you he's later. Yeah. I was just looking at houses in Palm Springs by Googling search word casita.
I want to know, you had a special, too, not too long ago.
Yeah, it's shrimp and
shrimp
ain't easy.
Ain't easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shrimp story.
Yeah. Dude, shrimps are important. Camarones.
Yeah.
Right. Camarones is shrimps in Spain.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they're different there. They have fancy
So that came out last month. How's that been, like, having the special out, and does your life change when you have a special out? And
I will see. Not yet.
Minus my points.
What about for you? Did that?
My special was fine. I mean, I feel like it was the only one they didn't do any publicity for. So they did like 10 originals that year, and they did publicity for all of them, but they didn't do any publicity for mine. So it made me think that they didn't like it in the end or something.
How'd you like it?
I thought it was fine. I thought the audience wasn't that good. And I thought that the...
Where'd you shoot that?
Shot at New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't shoot there again.
I would never shoot there in the first place.
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
so Miami, same thing. They just...
Is this a ratio?
They like to have fun. They just like to be outdoors.
Yeah.
I find. It's like an outdoor culture, you know?
Listening to a guy talk.
Yeah. No
not
way.
Not a New Orleans thing?
Yeah. They want to listen to music. They want to listen to themselves.
One of those hurricanes.
Yeah, want to drink. They want to party.
You're right.
I don't know if you remember, Theo, you got my friend who happened to be in New Orleans at the same time. Him and his buddies came in to watch your special in the front row. They said you killed it.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I'm glad they came out. So that's three people that enjoyed it.
I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
I got to watch it one more time to decide whether I like it or not.
Oh, good. I appreciate that.
I didn't write any of those jokes, so it could have been
better. What about the feedback?
I think the feedback was just kind of mixed. People either loved it. Like, I had a couple that drove like 6 hours this weekend to see me in Sacramento that were like, this is the greatest thing. They could recite every line.
Hmm.
And then I had like, I don't know. You don't really know the people that don't like it. But I didn't feel like a big jump from the industry, you know?
I got a review written in Entertainment Weekly of this one, but I got a B.
Oh.
Well, B's good.
But the grade didn't really match up with
the comments.
You know, with my style, you know, I got a weird eclectic group of people coming out to see me. So I've got the Latinos, the Daily Show people, some of the sitcom acting people, and then comedy fans. So it's four different groups. And in this special, you know, I talk about my kids, and I talk about some of the political stuff, and I talk about some Latino stuff. Like, it's a good mix, and there's a lot of storytelling. So I don't, in terms of my act, I'm not one very specific thing where one specific group is coming out to see me. It's like not hipster Asians are not flocking, you know, like you have. You know, when you become
the hipster Asian is
when you become a popular comedian, I find that you hit a base hard.
Now that you're going to be on a hit, I know it's going to be a hit, Showtime show, do you go, fuck, I'm married and I have kids?
Yeah, I got married pretty early on. And
you regret that?
Well, you know, I love my family so much, but at the same time...
Why are you winking at me right now?
I do. No, I want to have strange webcam girls move in with me as a horrible
webcam
mistake.
In Palm Springs, wink, wink. Webcam
girls.
I got to show you this. Palm Desert place.
Sure you do, bro.
No, look at this. I'm going to pull it up. And
have a couple twinks living out there in a couple hours, bro. But no, Al, I want to know about that, though, because I think about that. You know, I feel like there's a girl that I've been talking to, and I like her, and I worry, though, that like if I were
you
going to
be Richard Jenny, though? You going to be a guy that...
Jenny, the guy that's not the... It's not the Shamwell. It's not the guy that died from cocaine, is it?
No, that's the comedian who put a gun in his mouth.
Yeah, I'm not him.
Because I just feel like, again, mental health issues for sure, but I don't know, man. I think in terms of stand-up, we all get so selfish and there's late nights. And there's more to life than, you know, just comedy.
Yeah, and coming on some girl in the stairwell, you know?
Ooh.
All right. She fell down and I returned to her.
And it was a pure accident.
But no, it's a look, man. I just got 9 months sober. I just got my chip upstairs a little bit ago.
Because
I spent time up here. You know, there were times where I was high out of my brain up here running around. You can find whatever you want in this life, you know, especially in this life.
Wow.
You know?
I can't believe we'd done the podcast that long.
Oh, you were drinking and you were smoking weed, but you're doing other stuff as well?
I was doing drugs, brother.
Oh,
up there,
I had
dude.
No idea.
With some popular guys, with some other, you know, some guys that can survive it better than I can.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't do it.
I've been always too prudish for that
the
shit.
The guilt that I have for and the responsibility has kept me away from anything like that. I mean, I did. I've gone out. And you know, they had a lot of late nights, but again, I gotta wake up tomorrow. Yeah.
So as someone, Al, you were also a correspondent on The Daily Show.
I was indeed.
Do you watch it now?
I do not watch it now. And that's kind of like a busyness thing. There's so
it's not
much,
a taste
it's
thing.
Bad now as well.
Well, that's what I was getting at, but
it's not as good.
It's not as good.
For it's sure not as good. Good. It's,
you can, Trevor has developed an entirely new audience.
Yeah.
And that is to his credit. The show is doing very well right now. So.
But you do not watch it.
Because
you don't have the time.
For the most part, I am in bed asleep by 10:30 p.m.
Well, they have DVR.
Yeah.
Sure. But I get so much stuff that I have a lot of things on my plate. But TV-wise? No, I'm just saying, like, I watch Colbert. I watch John Oliver religiously.
He's the number one for me.
So you put both of those ahead of your own show that used to be on then.
But I should probably side with Colbert. I feel more of a kinship with Colbert and with Oliver and Samantha Bee than I do with the current show.
Yeah. What I did learn about you in doing research is that you had a job where you fired people.
Like George Clooney and Up in the Air.
Yeah.
That was my parents' family business. That's what I was running. I was the operations manager for a company that staffed other businesses. So if we worked here at the Comedy Store, we would employ every single person working, including the owners, to work basically for themselves so we could assume all the liability and we could take on all the benefits, workers' comp. And then if somebody needed to be fired, that's when young Al Madrigal would pop it over and go, hey, door guy, how you doing? This isn't working out. Here's your final paycheck. Don't let the door hit you.
So in other words, if it ever comes to that with us...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're going to be good at it.
Yeah.
I think, again, same as stand-up. I was completely honest the entire time. I was sincere, and I was just, they knew it was coming. I warned everybody that this was happening. This is the way it's going to be. It's like dealing with a rowdy audience. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, lady, you talk one more time. You know, put me in a very difficult spot.
Yeah,
I just want to do my act.
And who is it? I'm gonna take a. Who is the number one offender in a comedy club of getting out of line?
It's usually drunk women that don't want to be there in the first place.
Yeah,
that's always the case, right? Mm-hmm. When I go to a comedy club and I see groups of women, actually here at the comedy store has become very popular. And I was looking at somebody the other night, and I saw a bunch of chicks looking at their phones, just not even looking at the stage, just flipping through Instagram. And it's like, we're going to become the fucking Laugh Factory over here real quick.
Yeah.
So I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's usually, I find it's somebody that's really drunk. It's somebody that is really privileged. Like sometimes you'll have a guy with like a girl on a date, and it'll be some girl that just thinks she's entitled. Yeah. Yeah, somebody that's very entitled.
Well, this is great because it actually brings us back to the point that I should have made earlier, but this is when I will quit, is when adults stop coming out. I have a stand-up act that I don't like to dumb down, and I'm not going to be some monkey up there dancing around humping the bar stool.
Yeah.
And you know, you to appeal to these younger audiences, I think you need to compromise. And when I like performing for adults, sitting down, paying attention, like one of the best gigs I've ever done is in Toronto, 1400 seat theater filled for the Toronto comedy festival that they had there. They're just for laughs, and people wanted to see me.
Right.
And there was no fucking food, and there were no drinks,
yes.
And there was no waitress, right. And no one was looking at their phones, and it was just fantastic. And that's what ideally you want. But unless you have this huge audience of people that know your stand-up, you're sort of fucked with, you know, having people just coming out to see you do comedy.
Yeah.
And that's where
they can be
trouble.
Anybody. Miscreants, vagrants.
Have you seen the comedians that take the phones away? They have those bags now.
Yeah,
Chappelle does this a cool. lot. Chappelle has these bags that you check into the show.
Really? I think the store should just do that every night in the main room.
Comedy Works has them now. Cool. They use them for my weekend there. Comedy Works South.
Chappelle was the one that introduced them.
Started it. You put your phone in a bag. They lock it so you can't get to your phone. They
I
can
think
still...
that's awesome.
They need to do that everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
They need not to just do that everywhere. Comedy club,
movie
comedy
theaters.
Yeah, everything.
America. Yeah, the Congress. In Congress, they should do that.
That's true. Phone addicts. Yeah. All of us.
Yeah. It's going to get
I'm trying to, look up fucking Palm Desert real estate in a basement.
Yeah.
Just to prove that I'm not a homo.
And look, bro, that ain't the first time that's been done, probably.
Yeah, right? And that actually doesn't help your cause.
Yeah.
So I'm dying up here. Guys, you got to check it out, man, on behalf of every stand-up, on behalf of one of the stars of it, Mr. Al Madrigal. And just to get a history into what stand-up is like and to get a look behind that curtain now, why do they want to watch it?
It's a great show. I think even for non-stand-ups, there's so many amazing stories that are told, and you get to follow these nine different characters throughout the show. There's way more than that, but it's just like our core group.
Yep.
And Jake Lacy comes in. Do you know Jake Lacy? He was on The Office for a while. He was in Girls. Amazing actor. Michael Angarano.
Oh, I love Michael.
He's so
good. He's in my favorite movie of all time.
Clark Duke is in this.
Yeah,
he's playing one of
Clark's
the
funny.
Yeah, Clark's hilarious. Like you say, you mentioned the comics, but in terms of Ari Grainer,
she's a bad teacher.
Yeah, she's great. So you have a lot
it's
of...
great cast.
RJ Seiler from Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl, and he's one of the Power Rangers.
Who is he? The Dying Girl? I mean, the.
He's Earl.
Earl? Yeah.
He plays like this young Eddie Murphy type.
Wow, that's
awesome.
That's great. Oh, yeah. I love Me, Earl, and the
Dying
Girl. Wow.
So, I'm excited,
that's cool.
Man.
So it seems like it's got. I mean, it's funny probably, but it has heart too.
Oh, a lot.
It's like. It's
yeah.
not just. Com- it's not just
dark.
Jokes.
Is it dark?
It's super dark. It's a drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
I'm totally in.
Yeah.
Wow, the dark arts, guys.
So you can catch it on Sundays at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central, only on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
Just started June 4th, and it'll be going for how many episodes?
We got 10 episodes.
Wow. So your whole summer.
You'll be able to watch this.
You're going to be able to watch them dying
stream
up
it.
Here.
I'm sure they're probably going to release them early, and then we're going to make sure that allegedly has a code and you have access to free Showtime for a month if you don't have Showtime.
Sweet. Awesome. Oh, you mean our listeners?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, I thought you just meant Theo.
No, I didn't. I meant to all your listeners.
Very nice. Yeah.
I'm one of our listeners, so I will happily accept that. And we'll put that code onto our Facebook page.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right to,
Rachel will help you with that for sure. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so everybody catch on Dying Up Here. June 4th starts June 4th. Sundays, 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central on Showtime. Al, I know, like, the points kind of come and go, but ultimately you still have to pick a winner.
But there's a finale.
There is a finale.
I got you guys dead even right now.
Okay. Ooh.
So the finale is we each have 30 seconds to pitch to you or perform for you why we should be the winner.
Yeah.
So
you could do your act for 30 seconds.
I'd like to present favorite joke ever.
Jokes?
Like a joke. We each have 30 seconds to tell a joke.
Great. I love jokes.
I got it.
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah, sure.
All right. This is my favorite joke. What's the last thing you want to hear when you're giving a blowjob to Willie Nelson? What? I'm not Willie Nelson.
That's good.
That's a good one.
My favorite joke.
Is that an original?
Not an original.
No.
Who writes those?
I wrote that rather than a magazine.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Reader's Digest, I think.
And what?
Reader's Digest.
You read Reader's Digest?
Yeah.
They don't have a blowjob joke.
Yeah. Hey, you're right. They don't.
There's no way.
Well, I might have read some. I might have read it wrong. whatever the joke was probably not as good as that.
Yeah.
All right. But I do read.
You took it and adapted it. That part is pretty funny. This is going to be tough to beat because of the whole Reader's Digest element.
Yeah, no, that's hysterical. First of all, it wasn't
funnier than the joke.
Mine is, what do you call a fish that doesn't swim?
What do you call a fish that doesn't swim?
I don't know.
Dead.
Oh, that is a really bad one.
Yeah, that's bad. But that made
Moriarty,
me feel,
huh?
That's what it makes me think of.
Very Moriarty.
I think that's funny.
I'm just going to pencil Theo in right now. Oh, no, sorry. I put it in the wrong side.
It's penciled.
That's penciled.
That was a Freudian slip in the wrong side there. Let's go, Ari.
All right, I'm gonna read one.
Oh,
blindly.
He's got Google got in
nothing.
Front of him.
I got nothing. I'm reading it blindly. What's worse than waking up at a party and finding a penis drawn on your face? Finding out it was traced.
Ooh,
that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
My joke is a little long. I'm gonna do the abridged version of it right now, just to close out. Theo's the winner.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So.
Congratulations.
There's a Reader's Digest thing. The joke was funny. Everything.
The self-loathing. Yeah. Come on.
The Reader's Digest. The fact that leather-bound Reader's Digest.
Reader's Digest.
Very classy books.
So husband and wife are traveling cross-country. They pull into an Arizona gas station. They've got their luggage on the roof. They've got these Atlanta plates, and they pull in. And the full service, that's how old this joke is, the guy runs over the car.
I feel like we're in the Aristocrat.
Yeah, he says, what can I do for you, sir? And he goes, fill it up with unleaded, please. And the wife, who's hard of hearing, goes, what'd he say? And he said, he asked what I wanted, and I said, fill it up with unleaded. Oh, okay. And the guy fills it up, and he comes back to the car. And he goes, sure, I noticed you're on the road trip. You mind if you want me to check the oil and the water? And the guy says, sure, that'd be great. And the wife goes, what'd he say? And he says, well, he wanted to know, since he noticed we were on the road trip, if he checked the oil and the water. Okay. The guy comes back to the car and he goes, sir, I hope you don't mind me. I don't want to be too forward, but I noticed that you have the Atlanta plates there. And I've traveled all over the country. I spent a lot of time in Atlanta. What city? Where are you from exactly? And he goes, Atlanta plates, Georgia plates. I'm being an idiot. So Georgia plates, where in Georgia are you from? And the guy goes, oh, you never heard of it. This is great. It's such a small town. It's 14 people. And he goes, no, I've been all over. What's the town of Georgia? And he goes, well, it's actually Atwater, Georgia. It's tiny, tiny. Like I said, it's 14. He goes, holy shit, you're not going to believe this. I've been to Atwater, Georgia. And I'll never forget it because the most disgusting woman I've ever had sex with. I mean, just stinky, smelly woman. Like nasty.
Yeah.
Just fucking. Never forget it. And he goes, Atwater, Georgia. No shit. And he goes, that's crazy. And they just like wave goodbye, drive away, and the wife says, "What'd he say?" He says he knows you. My uncle told
me. Well, all right.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, we're so excited for you, dude. When I saw the trailer, I was just like, man, it really felt good to see people that I know like doing really cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, you're
going
to see a ton of comics you recognize, and then obviously the acting from the actors. The comedians learned how to be great dramatic actors, and the dramatic actors learned how to be comedians. It's pretty amazing.
Wow, man. It's so cool to be a part of something like that, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I'm dying up here. Sundays, 10 p.m., 9 Central on Showtime. Produced by Mr. Jim Carrey. All
Beautiful. Right. Congratulations on a great year so far, Al.
Thanks, man.
Congratulations, Theo, on your win.
Thank you, Ari Manis. Thank you for being here
Mark
today.
Mark them down.
Mark at 8, dude.
Bye, guys.